Welcome back to Back in Style, the Twisted Mug Media Network's Twin Peaks podcast. I am Logan, Twin Peaks veteran.
I am Matthew, the Twin Peaks newbie.
And I am Ryan, also the Twin Peaks newbie.
And today, we have a very exciting episode. We are going to be talking about episode 21 of season 2 of Twin Peaks, entitled Miss Twin Peaks. Now, this is the first part of what is basically a two-part finale for season 2 here. So, guys, your thoughts on, you know, what we've been talking about in the previous episodes, you know, what you expected to see from this one, and, yeah, just sort of your general reactions on, the rest of the season up to this point.
It's been a journey getting here. I mean, you know, we've had the very intense mid-season 2 slump, and then we've seen the episodes kind of come back over time, and I think we're really at a peak here. I definitely was a bit surprised by this episode. I will be a bit critical of this one. I wasn't crazy about it, to be honest. I was a little bit disappointed. The way I would compare it, me and Logan have had this conversation off mic. Logan describes Infinity War as being just set up, and he prefers Endgame, you know, to Infinity War. And while I don't agree with that sentiment, because I think Infinity War is vastly better than Endgame, I agree with the base comparison that you're making there. And that's what I feel about this episode. I feel like it's just set up. You know, I don't feel like anything, you know, too tangible happens, like there's any real push. And, you know, maybe it will be worth it. You know, I'm sure the finale is amazing, so... You know, a mediocre setup episode for a superb finale might be okay. But at this point in time, I was a little bit disappointed. You know, I did want to see some more traction in the Donna and Ben Horn area, and even with Annie and Wyndham Earl. And some scenes just felt a little bit too long for me. But overall, you know, still enjoyed this episode for sure. It just made me even more hype for, you know, the finale.
Yeah, this felt like an average Twin Peaks episode for me. There was a lot, and by average I mean there was some of it that I really liked and some of it that I really didn't like and felt didn't need to be there. Specifically, I'm sure we'll get into some scenes in this episode that I felt just really killed the pacing and really killed the ramping up of the tension to a series finale the way that season two, they knew the season two finale would be for a long time. I love the last scene, and I'm very excited to get into the finale. I hope that it kind of holds that same quality as the last scene of the episode. But yeah, for the majority of this episode, it just felt like another middle-of-the-road season 2 episode. And again, I think that the season 2 thing that people say about Twin Peaks, I feel like doesn't really apply until you hit episode, like, 11. I think the show in general keeps the quality up until the episode after Leland dies. Because I remember that you guys didn't like that episode, but I did. But yeah, so for me, it still hasn't, no episode has come really close to anything pre-season 2 episode 10. So, you know, we'll see if the finale can do it. If not, I'm pretty confident that I will like the return quite a bit, so.
Yeah, and I mean, if we're going by IMDb ratings, you know, that episode where Leland is revealed to be the killer is a 9.4. That's the all-time, well, at least in the original run, that's the highest rating of any episode. And then the episode where he dies, when the whole mystery kind of comes together, is a 9.3. And our finale next time we do this podcast will be also a 9.3. So, yeah, you know, this is an 8.6. It is pretty middle of the road in terms of like season one, early season two. But yeah, I think it's a great lead in. Even now, I'm gonna say, like, just as a preface, definitely don't expect the finale to tie up every little loose end. Lynch is not, you know, he's not the kind of guy who's gonna wrap everything up in a nice, neat little bow, and that's okay, and that's actually a lot of what I really like about the show.
Well, that's good to hear, because one of the things I was kind of disappointed with in this episode was I felt like we were almost getting too many clues, you know, spoon-fed to us with okay, this is the Black Lodge, we need fear to get into this one and love to get into this one, and it just felt like it was happening way too easily, and like they were, you know, trying to piece everything together really fast at the end, because most of season two has just kind of been a slog. So I'm glad to hear that I wanted to maintain and you know, that very ambiguous, out-there touch, so I'm glad to hear it ends on that note.
And I think with a lot of Lynch's stuff, he likes to sort of make it seem like stuff is sort of tied up. It's basically over, you know, you pretty much have a good sense of it. And then, you know, in the last last episode or last, you know, like 30 minutes or 15 minutes of the movie, he'll just take it in a wildly different direction. You're like, whoa, where did that come from, right? So, yeah, I think that's a good mindset to have coming into this. Ryan, anything to add before we get into the Log Lady introduction for this episode?
No, I think all the things that I have to say about this episode we can talk about as we go through it.
Great. Yeah, so the last couple weeks, we have been reading the Log Lady intros for these episodes, and basically, you know, some a couple years after you know, season two concluded, it's run on ABC. David Lynch decided to shoot some just random little, like, a 30-second clip of Margaret Lanterman, the Log Lady, sitting in front of a fire with her log, in character, and you know, just saying very kind of cryptic, you know, clues, sort of, and also just kind of poetic stuff. So we've been reading that, and I think with this one, we might have some things that we'll be able to tie into the episode, but we'll see. So let's get into talking about this. She says, "A log is a portion of a tree. At the end of a cross-cut log, many of you know this, there are rings. Each ring represents 1 year and the life of the tree. How long it takes to grow a tree. I don't mind telling you some things. Many things I mustn't say. Just notice that my fireplace is boarded up. There will never be a fire there. On the mantelpiece, in that jar, are some of the ashes of my husband. The log hears things I cannot hear, but my log tells me about the sounds, about the new words. Even though it has stopped growing larger, my log is aware." Now, what are your initial reactions to this? Any ways that it maybe ties into the episode in terms of plot points, or maybe, you know, on a larger thematic scale?
Well, Log Lady kind of plays not a big role in this episode, but she hasn't really appeared in the last couple, I'd say. And there's, you know, we'll get to it, but there's an interesting shot where it kind of looks like she disappears, just kind of vanishes, because Mr. Pinkle turns around and you're just stunned to see her not being there. So that's interesting, bearing that in mind. And then also, I've been reading Laura Palmer's Secret Diary on Audible, listening to it, rather. And I don't know if it's in that or they mentioned it on the show, but they do point out that her husband died in a fire. So that's what she's referring to with the ashes. And
the fireplace being boarded up.
Yep, yeah. The fireplace being boarded up. And once again, returning to the wood and you know, David Lynch's fascination with wood, both in real life and in this TV show. Yeah, I think it's really nice. It's mysterious. I like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't quite get anything from it, but that is a good connection to have, that it's related to her backstory.
Yeah, and I think one of the interesting things, too, about this is that she says that she doesn't mind telling us some things. And I think that's Lynch coming out and saying, like, yeah, I'm going to give you some clues, but, like, I'm not going to give you that much, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think is really important. So, you know, we'll keep that in mind. Maybe it'll come up later. Maybe it won't. But, yeah, I think it's always nice to sort of frame the episodes within the Log Lady intros, just because that's sort of, I mean, it's kind of what Lynch wanted, you know, in terms of sort of repurposing all the episodes or showing people a new way to watch them. So, yeah, I think with that, we can get into this plot summary. This comes to us, of course, as always, from The Essential Wrapped in Plastic, Pathways to Twin Peaks by John Thorne. Here we go. Leo frees Briggs from his shackles and says, "Save Shelley." Earl returns to find Briggs gone. He smiles, and his teeth and mouth are black, a demonic visage. Ben wants Audrey to enter the pageant for the good of the Stop Ghostwood campaign. Cooper believes that fear killed Josie. He thinks Bob was attracted to Josie's fear. Cooper wants to find his way into the lodge before Earl does. Earl leaves Leo shackled and clutching a piece of twine in his mouth, which is connected to a cage of spiders suspended over his head. Lana lures Dick into a storage room and seduces him. Annie and Cooper discuss the forest and, metaphorically, Annie's past. Nadine shows slides of her wrestling to Jacoby, Mike, Ed, and Norma. Ed tells Nadine that he and Norma are getting married. Nadine says she and Mike are getting married, too. Hawk finds Briggs by the side of a road. Cooper and Truman tend to Briggs. Andrew shoots the box open to reveal a key. Cooper believes the petroglyph tells when and where a door will open. Briggs mutters, "Protect the Queen," and "Fear and love open the doors." Cooper realizes that the Queen must mean Miss Twin Peaks. Cooper and Truman hastily leave for the pageant. The pageant contestants dance. Bobby approaches Earl, who is dressed as the log lady. Earl smashes Bobby in the head with his log. Donna confronts Ben. Annie gives her speech and impresses the judges. Andy promises Lucy he will be a great father. Hayward announces the new Miss Twin Peaks, Annie Blackburn. Suddenly, the lights go out. Smoke fills the hall. Nadine is hit on the head by a sandbag. Earl abducts Annie, and Andy tells Cooper that the petroglyph is a map. And that is our plot summary for Miss Twin Peaks. Initial thoughts on this episode, guys?
Yeah, you know, so as I said earlier, you know, a slightly lukewarm response from me on this one. Not crazy about it. Certainly some things that I like. I'm glad that we finally reached the Miss Twin Peaks pageant after so much talk about it. I wasn't too satisfied with the ending of this episode. I was a little disappointed. I found the effect that they used with kind of the flashing lights, or rather, I guess, editing it with the black screens to be, I don't know, a little just manipulative. And I feel like maybe it would have been, more effective if they just tried to achieve that fear and that terror, that mood in some sort of other way. For me, it felt kind of cheap. But for the most part, I did enjoy this episode, and we got to see, finally, I don't know what number this is, but Logan's favorite Wyndham Earl disguise, which was amazing. Yep. I loved this disguise. It took me by surprise for sure.
Yep, I've been teasing this since the beginning of you know, there's a certain surprise that Wyndham Earl will have that's my favorite surprise, and when you see it, you'll know it. And of course you did. That's great.
And that image of him whacking, Bobby on the head with the log, is perfect. Absolutely. I love it. Hilarious and terrifying at the same time.
Yeah, I love the last scene of this episode. I think it's fantastic. I love the blinding lights, whatever, flashing lights, whatever you want to call it. I like it a lot. It's very cool. Great effect, I think. But yeah, majority of this episode felt like, once again, this show twiddling its thumbs and going down plot lines that I really don't care about. So we'll get into the specifics of it, but yeah, those are my thoughts on the episode.
Yeah, that's fair, but you know, let's just get into talking about the plot, basically scene by scene. So this intro, I feel like this is a very, very Lynch shot scene, even though this is not directed by him. This is directed by Tim Hunter, I believe. But this very static scene, sort of far away, we see the Major and Leo. Leo is, you know, trying to escape, and he eventually sets the Major free instead, and he says, "Save Shelley."
Which is stupid. It's so stupid that he cares about Shelley again. Like, and that we're supposed to, like, think that, like, oh, poor Leo, because he wants to save Shelley. Like, this man not only was an abuser during the relationship, but then tried to kill her multiple times. Like, I'm sorry, I have no sympathy for Leo. He can fuck all the way off.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't think we're necessarily supposed to feel sympathy for him, but I think it makes sense on a certain level that he doesn't want Shelley to die, you know?
Yeah, but he does, because he tried to kill her multiple times.
Well, yeah, but now I think it's more so the fact that he's been on the other side of an abusive relationship with Wyndham Earl, and I think now maybe he understands a little more, and now he's supposed to be... I think that's what we're supposed to get from it, you know?
Okay.
We have Leo being the big bad a little bit, and then we have Wyndham sort of just completely making him his bitch, and I don't know, I think that might have had an effect on Leo over those, you know, maybe the weeks that he's been there.
Yeah, that's true. I know I had speculated in the beginning that I thought maybe Earl would use Leo to kill Shelley, like, you know, harness Leo's anger and rage, but yeah, I guess it's kind of gone the other way. Yeah, you know, this first scene was fine. I guess this is the only instance of Leo we see here. I'm assuming we'll get more of him in the finale because as me and Floyd have speculated,
we're pretty sure
that man is going to die. And I'm sticking to that theory. I'm sure he's going to die.
If no one dies in the finale, I will be shocked.
People are going to die for sure.
So we see Leo. I'm getting ahead of myself, but Wyndham comes in, and he honestly doesn't really seem to care that Major Briggs is gone that much. I guess, like, the plan is already basically set in motion, so it doesn't really matter to Wyndham, I think. But then Wyndham, he strings up, and maybe this is a little later, actually, but he strings up this device with a cage of spiders.
Which they look like tarantulas, which aren't poisonous, so...
Yeah, they're just weird. And also, like...
They're just scary.
I feel like the idea is, like, so Leo has a piece of twine in his mouth, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like the idea is, like, if he lets go or, like, falls asleep or something, then the cage is going to fall on him. But, like, it would kind of hurt to have a cage fall on your head, and it would kind of be a little scary to have some spiders on your head. But, like, I don't think it would kill him.
Yeah, I don't know what he's going for. I guess just the fear and the terror. Maybe he's using that fear.
Yeah,
it'd be scarier if it was like a big piano hanging up above. Sure, him, you know, but
yeah,
I don't know, probably just the fear.
The scene was fine. And yeah, we did scoop over the really creepy shot of Earl with what you said in the plot summary is a completely pale face and black mouth, black eyes or something. I thought this was terrifying. Maybe he got close to the Black Lodge. I mean, I like to think of it as he just had some sort of encounter in the woods with some sort of deeper evil. Maybe he got too close to the Black Lodge. Either way, I think it's really effective.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Cool.
Great image.
So, we also have a diner scene. We skipped over a lot of stuff with that, but that's okay, because those scenes were very related. But there's a really nice scene in the diner with Norma, Shelley, and Annie. I love these three characters. I love them all. And just watching them interact here is really great. And we get the reveal that Norma won Miss Twin Peaks maybe, what was it, 20 years ago?
20 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool, I think.
Yeah, yeah, no, I like this stuff, but again, this was the stuff where it felt eerie, because I knew that something was going to happen to Annie, probably, and this felt very like, oh, this is sweet now, but just wait for a day from now when she's going to be dead. I hope she doesn't actually die, but it sure seems that way.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't know. I just enjoy these scenes so much, regardless of...
Of Annie's regardless death of in the next episode, probably.
Whatever. You know I can't reveal anything.
I know you can, and I'm not asking you to. I'm just speculating.
Yeah, yeah. So, let's... I feel like there's a lot of unimportant stuff in here that we can just get out of the way
can
first.
Can we please get the super boring stuff out of the way?
We can boil it down to, like... And then we'll just have the Cooper and Miss Twin Peaks stuff to talk about at the end. So, we have a scene with Ben and Audrey.
Sweet scene.
I think it was sweet. He says, "You make the rest of us look like primates," which we are primates.
Yeah, humans. I guess. But it's a fine scene. Audrey, he convinces her to enlist in the pageant, I think is what it is, and we get more of Ben's weird soul searching journey that he's on with his different philosophical books.
I still think every religion.
Yeah, I still think they've butchered Ben's character, in season two, where, I can't really, I don't know if they can redeem it at this point, just because he's been way too all over the place for me, but yeah, fine scene.
Yeah, I think Ben's finally towards a place that I'm okay with him, in terms of his character. I guess maybe after the whole Civil War plot line, there's not going to be anything that goes, this is just worse than the Civil War plot line with Ben. Like, I think that's probably some of the worst of this show, so... I think anytime that Ben is no longer that character, I'm like, you know what? Ben's pretty cool. I like Ben.
Yeah. And, I don't think this is a bad place for his arc to go. I like that he's, taking interest in all these holy books. I think it's very funny.
You know what's weird, though? And this is something I think I bring up every once in a while. It's still weird to me that they had to shoehorn in that he was the prime suspect to kill Laura and that he had a sexual relationship with Laura Palmer. I still find that to be really weird and something that the show just completely glosses over.
Read the Secret Diary.
Really?
Yeah, okay. It's not... I haven't actually read the whole thing, but early on, there's... I mean, she talks about him a little bit, not their sexual relationship, because it starts when she's, 12, but, it talks about it a little bit, so, yeah.
Yeah, I have read some of those points you're talking about. Yeah, okay, yeah, I do remember that being interesting. I was listening to The Secret Diary, a little tangent here, but I was listening to it pretty devotedly, and then I literally had to take a break. Like, it's so... creepy and disturbing and dark that I literally had to step away and be like, I can't, this is weighing on my soul too much. Like, this is so intense.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that to be its own episode. I think that book is going to be a lot of fun to talk about.
Yeah, it will.
But yeah, let's go from that extremely deep conversation to Tim Pinkle. He's back as the choreographer.
Oh, God.
Sort of funny scene with him,
not really.
Choreographing. I like Tim Pinkle. All right. I think he's a good character.
I liked Tim. I think he's kind of annoying in this episode. Like,
I don't remember him from before, to be honest. He was in something before this?
Yeah. He was holding Little Weasel.
Oh, okay.
He was there when Dick got his nose bitten off.
Yeah, I can, come here, I can you see little why
pilgrim.
Yeah, I can see yeah. why I didn't remember him, because that was stupid.
Oh, yeah. I like that scene, but okay.
That's fair. It is, yeah. I think overall that's a stupid scene, but I do like Tim Pinkle as a character. But then Lana Pinkle. Comes off the stage Sorry. And she goes into the supply closet with
Unnecessary
Dick.
Scenes.
I gotta say, I think that this is probably the horniest episode of Twin Peaks.
Oh, yeah, dude. So many people
And James isn't even
episode.
There, which is shocking.
I know.
Oh, I forgot about James. Yeah. I still think he's gonna come back in the finale.
I kind of don't think this he will.
Really, you don't?
Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't feel that way.
I mean, I would be very surprised if they just... We never saw him again. Like that, I mean, James is not a great character, but, man, I feel bad for the actor if they did that, if they just really ditched him like that.
I'm sure he'll be in the return.
Yeah, me too.
So,
But no, yeah, super unnecessary scene, lots of sex scenes in this episode, and this was one that I wouldn't have said that I anticipated going into the episode.
Well, there's only two.
Right. Yeah. But they're back to back.
But it feels like
they are back to back. And well, yeah. One is really both are very horny, but like the second one with Annie Blackburn and Cooper is sweet and like beautiful to watch. Yeah. The other one is just like erotic.
Yeah, the other one. I love the line. Damn. Okay.
I love the line. We can talk about that scene now, though. But when Cooper is talking to Diane once again, and this time he's talking about Annie, and who should knock on the door, of course, but Annie. And she comes in and they talk about Ghostwood a little bit. And I love his line where he goes, "I don't want to talk about trees anymore," and just starts taking her clothes off.
Yeah, I mean, is this the first time they've had sex?
I think so.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. It's so beautiful. I love how she walks in. They kind of like jump. They're just talking about trees. And then the trees become a metaphor for their past.
Just in time for
and
her
then
to
they
die.
Just like, yeah, and then they just have passionate love.
Yes. Very different.
No, this is the difference. Lana and Dick Tremaine had sex. Cooper and Annie made love.
That is a difference, yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, that's basically. Yeah. Floyd's over there giggling. He can't. moving right along. Let's see. Oh, Nadine's scene is definitely another one that
Can
doesn't
we
need to be
skip
that.
So
she breaks
stupid.
Mike's hand. Yeah, I still okay. really like the actor who plays Mike. I think that
Same.
Gary Hertzberger is really good.
I just watched him during the Nadine scene just to see how he was reacting. He did a pretty good job. He did a pretty good job of no line, just being like, okay. Oh shit, my hand.
I think he more than anyone really brings like the high school drama feel to it.
Yeah, you know? goofiness. Yeah.
He definitely feels like the most high schoolish person here, even though he's
which is weird because Nadine's like 45.
Exactly,
but...
even though he's together with a 45-year-old woman.
Yeah, you know.
What? Okay, that's... here's a question, just to get weird semantics with this, because Twin Peaks has decided to do this to us. So what in Mike's mind was like? Yeah, I want to get married to a 45-year-old woman who thinks that she's 18 years old. Is it just that the sex is that good? Because, I mean, that awesome scene with Bobby when he yells, whoa, I mean, that's still one of my favorite scenes in the show, but...
Yeah. I mean, Floyd, it's not what you think.
It's not what you think.
Okay.
It's not what you think.
Do you have any idea what the combination of sexual maturity and superhuman strength can do?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess it is just that good.
A secret Mike will take to the grave.
I guess.
Yes.
Maybe he'll die.
Maybe he'll die.
Oh, no. Mike. Okay, we also have to talk about Andrew and Packard shooting a box open. They find a key, they put it in a cake. This is a fun scene.
I love the face he makes when he points the gun at it. I think that's really fun.
There's no point to it.
Yeah, no,
I don't need it. Okay, I don't want this literalized that much. I don't want this to be a key to one of the lodges. But
yeah,
if it is, that's the only reason that this scene should be there. Like, there is nothing that this adds. And I just don't care about Piper Laurie's character. Why am I blanking on her name? What's her name?
Catherine.
Catherine. I just don't care about Catherine and Andrew anymore. And I love Jack Nance, but he doesn't have a story. He had that beautiful moment with Audrey, and I would have honestly been fine with that being the end of Jack Nance in this show.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I like having him around, but I think you're right.
I mean, I love Pete. He's a weenie. He's so fun, but like, still, we don't need him.
Yeah. He is indeed a wheelie. A wheelie.
Jack Nance is a wheelie.
He is the wheelie.
He is a sneaker with a wheel in it.
Oh, man. Those things were the shit.
They were. I feel like we caught right the tail end of that in, like, first or second grade for us. Yeah. Like, we just
or
hit
Heelys.
Wheelies.
They were called Heelys.
Oh, were they Heelys, not wheelies? Okay, my bad.
They're
my
still
bad.
Cool. No, it's a pun on that, though.
Is it? Okay, yeah. Tight.
Wow. What a sick invention. Anyway, Donna has a scene with her parents where she says that she's going to talk to Ben Horn. Donna is angsty. And then later, she does talk to Ben Horn.
We've seen this scene, like, 10 times.
Yep.
We have seen this so much of her just being mad at her parents. First it was the peas. Now she's just mad again. Like, it's nothing.
Can I say something that I know is going to upset Matt? I don't think Laura Flynn Boyle's very good in this show. And I think Donna, especially, since the Laura Palmer storyline has been over, it feels like she, like, checked out of the show. She's like, all right, I'm done with this shit. Her acting has gone so flat. She is just Donna has become such a boring character. She, like, for some reason just chased after James at one point, was, like, relevant for, like, an episode. And then now they're trying to, like, wedge this Ben Horn storyline in there, which makes sense because, like, Sherilyn Fenn and Laura Flynn Boyle, like, kind of look the same. Like, they look like they could be, like, half-sisters, so it makes sense. But, like, I don't need this. And of all things going on in the finale, or what could be going on in the finale, like, I don't care. And it looks like Laura Flynn Boyle doesn't care, which makes me care even less.
Yeah, I mean, I still think she's great in the show. I just think it's, the terrible stuff they're doing with her character. But, all right, fair.
Okay, yeah, I feel like I should reword that. Like, she was good. Like, she was good because, I mean, Donna was always one of the melodrama characters with James. Mm-hmm. Like, they were always, you know, just being super 1920s, 1930s melodrama with it. But, and she was good at that, but I feel like once you took that away, it's just like, there's nothing left for her to do.
I would have to agree. I think she's been pretty flat since then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think now that we've gotten all the excess, we've trimmed off the fat of this episode, and now we can get to the meat here.
You see, you notice how we skipped over the Donna conversation in like a minute. Meanwhile, this show took like probably a whole episode's worth of moody scenes with Donna to get to this point.
Yep.
Like, yeah, we knew a while ago that it was her dad. We can move on.
Yeah, and you know, I like it. I actually like that reveal. It makes it just sort of muddies the waters and makes the whole thing like a little bit more icky with Ben and Laura, and then Laura and Donna were best friends. And I don't know. I think it deepens Ben's character, and also the fact that he, like, I think this is where it shows that he actually does sort of want to do the right thing. So
yeah, there's also a line, in his scene with Audrey before where he's kind of trying to relate to her with her situation with, whatever that guy's name is,
Audrey. Oh, John.
John. Yeah, John Justice Wheeler, and he says, "I know how it feels. Believe me." You know, is he talking about Miss Hayward there? You know, he knows how heartbreak feels, you know, losing.
Well, is he talking about Laura there? Because that's a creepy thing that the show could be
referencing. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But either way, if Donna is not Ben's daughter, this man is doing a terrible job at not making it look like she is. Like all of his, you know, body language, everything he says points to, "You are my daughter." So it's either that or something terrible.
She has to be his daughter because, like, where in a conversation is someone like, "You're my dad," and you're just like, "Oh no, don't walk away," instead when they're not actually your daughter.
I don't think she's gonna be. That just seems too wild.
Oh no, I think he will be. I think he will be, because there's no way that Ben wouldn't just be like, "Oh no, Donna, I am not your biological father."
Like, it's like when someone says, like, "Are you, like, whoever?" And if they say, "Who's asking?" then that's a yes. Like, if they said the wrong name, then you wouldn't be like, "Who's asking?" You would just be like, "No, that's not what my name is."
Yeah, it'd be like,
it's like, conversation, if Ben isn't actually Donna's father, he wouldn't have been like, "No, don't walk away, let's talk about this." He would have been like, no, I'm not your father.
Or exactly. Even before she said that, he was like, let's have a sit down and talk about this, just yeah. the four of us. This isn't the time or place. And then she's like, he was like, nah, I ordered a pizza for us a while back.
Yeah.
I don't know, this is a weird conversation. I don't know why you thought I was your dad. You must be going through some
kind of
some,
a weird thing for you
kind
to
of a
think,
weird
honestly.
Thing for you to place on me. I mean, I get that you and Audrey kind of look the same, but like, I mean,
all that being said,
here.
I still don't think that she's going to be his daughter, because all the signs are too clear, and I just can't see Lynch. I don't see him following through on that. I think he's just going to subvert her expectations. But who knows?
I mean, if he's not,
it's so much worse.
I was going to say so much wasted time. At least if he is, at least hopefully we can get a scene where it makes some sort of emotional resonance with the characters. Because if not, it's just going to feel like, oh my god, it's like all the Nadine stuff. Just like, no, there's no point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's get to the bulk of this
good
episode.
Stuff.
Yes. The very first scene I think that's worth mentioning is Cooper talking to Truman. And he finally tells Truman that when he saw Josie die, he saw Bob. And Cooper says that the Black Lodge, he believes that the Black Lodge is what Truman has referred to as the evil in the woods.
Yeah, as I said before, it makes sense. It makes too much sense is the thing. As I said before, these scenes were, they were taking the concepts of the show way too literally. I feel like they were just giving me clues, giving me answers. And I was like, no, I don't want to know these things. Like, leave this vague, leave this ambiguous. So a little disappointed by that. I did love Don Davis's acting. Oh my gosh, when he comes back from the forest and he's shaking and he's on that drug that is also given to the one-armed man, and he's saying, "Oh, they took me to the woods, the queen, the king of Romania," and he's kind of like saying these words, fear and love. It just feels so poetic. I mean, fucking Don Davis once again,
yeah,
amazing character.
Yeah, and of course when Hawk picks up Major Briggs in the woods, he says. Briggs says, "Which way is the castle?" And
which I'm assuming
talking
is
about
because
the king
of
Romania.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the queen. Protecting the queen.
Yeah.
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 But
she was told
to protect Shelley by Leo, and he did a pretty shit job of that. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Ooh,
he's not doing too great at that so far.
Yeah.
But...
He's not doing a great job of that. Like Shelley definitely could have gotten got if she was the queen.
Well, no
really
one does a good job at protecting anyone in this episode, particularly Cooper.
At the end of the episode when he's just fucking standing there, I'm like, Cooper, do something.
Do something. Like, you know what's going to happen. You know what happened before. Ugh.
Yeah. There is a crazy line that Wyndham has where he says, "I haven't been this excited since I punctured Caroline's aorta."
Ooh. Yeah, that was
and
fucked
like,
up but fun.
Yeah.
Fucked up but fun.
That's what Wyndham is. He is fucked up but fun.
Yeah. I think it's the performance in that scene that makes it fun. Like, I could see the craziness behind his eyes. I'm like, yeah, he believes that, what he's saying. Yeah.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah. I think one of the most interesting details in the scene with Cooper and Truman talking is that Cooper says he believes that the Black Lodge is Bob's home, which I don't know if we got that indication before.
Again, I don't need that literalized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I feel like I don't need that to be told to me. Like, I know.
Sure.
Like, and I'm still, like, I know we've had conversations back and forth on this show about whether or not I need the supernatural stuff. I do like the supernatural stuff to some extent. I just don't like it. I mean, I need some of it to be explained, but I don't need it to be, like, there is a literal actualization of good and evil in these places in the woods. Like, I don't know if I need, like, a good lodge and a bad lodge. Like, I need some explanation of the rules. I think that's what I said before. Like, the rules of it, I need some explanation for, like, any of it to make sense to me. But I don't need, like, this is a literalization of everything good in the world. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, sure. That's fair. I love the supernatural stuff to no end, but I like it when it's vague as hell and I don't understand it. Because it's almost like a horror movie, you know? Like, you know, the things that you don't see, you know, the jump scares that you don't get, you know, it's almost scarier because you try to, you know, it's scarier what you come up with in your head. And it's kind of the same here, just in a different way. Not necessarily scary, but it's almost more mysterious, more intriguing, you know, what you can come up with in your head.
Yeah, the mystery is always what's interesting. I like when they don't, you know, spell out all of those rules super specifically. But there's a funny moment, sort of funny, sort of not. But Briggs is sitting in the sheriff's station and they call him Garland Briggs, and he
Judy
says,
Garland,
what an odd name, Judy Garland.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, he's talking about Judy. Cooper says that to get to the lodge, they have to be at exactly the right place at exactly the right time. And Andy talks about 4-H, and there's this whole thing with astrology, and you know, Cooper realizes that it's not 4-H, they're like astrological symbols, and it represents Jupiter and Saturn. Okay, this is something really interesting I want to talk about. This is a thing that happens in the real world when Jupiter and Saturn from our perspective on Earth, they merge, and it's called a great conjunction. And it happens,
which is coming up in our actual timeline.
Yeah, it is. It happens every 20 years. It will be happening on December either 20th or 21st or something, of this year, which means that the last time it happened was 2000, and last time before that was 1980. So this is pretty much right in the middle of that, and this would not be happening at this time at all.
Yeah.
This is a real event that happens, astrological event, the Great Conjunction. And actually, if you look into the sky at night most of the time, at least where we are, I think most of the places in the world, you can see Jupiter and Saturn are decently close to each other. They're pretty bright in the sky, depending on where you are. Probably if you're in like a big city, it's tougher. But so I think that's something really interesting, that it's,
astrology.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even make that connection.
Like, it's a real world event, but it would not have been happening in 1990. And also, there's another thing that is pointed out and wrapped in plastic, that the date that this episode happens would have been like a Sunday in March. It would have been Easter in the year that this is supposed to take place.
Really?
And they just don't acknowledge that at all.
That's fun.
I think it's really funny.
I have a quick question. Could have been an egg hunt.
I know, Miss Twin. Oh, yeah,
that would have been so much more fun.
That would have been.
We could have gotten
Wyndham
Earl dressed up like the Easter Bunny.
Oh my God, the possibilities are endless.
So does this mean for us in December, that's when the door will open, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Only opens on that day that they are,
I guess,
in conjunction. Okay, interesting. Yeah, that's fine. I didn't even make that connection because I go stargazing often. I'm always like, oh, there's Jupiter, there's Saturn, because you can always see it. Didn't even make that connection to Twin Peaks. Damn it. All right.
Yeah.
Well, I have this question about the Great Conjunction. Is that what it's called? It says, like, that's supposed to be a change in power. Is that what Cooper said?
I think. I don't know. I just pay attention to the way that things look in the sky. It's not really... I mean, astrology is bullshit.
Astrology is bullshit, but I'm saying for, like, the purposes of the show, because he's like, oh, this is... I think it's supposed to be significant to this.
Is what he says, yeah.
Okay, so if it's a change in power, does that mean that, like, maybe when he goes... this is just me predicting the finale. Like, maybe when he goes to the... Because he's going to go to the Black Lodge. I think the next episode is called The Path to the Black Lodge or something like that.
It is.
So when he goes to the Black Lodge, maybe he will...
The next one is called Beyond Life and Death, I think.
Is it Beyond Life and Death that I... Oh, it was the last episode?
We already had
the
Path to the Black Lodge.
Okay, we already did that one. Okay, well, I'm still assuming that he's going
to go to the Black Lodge.
I'm still assuming that he's going to go to the Black Lodge in the finale. It'd be kind of weird if he didn't. But I'm assuming that he's going to go to the Black Lodge. Maybe he will, like, Pennywise style, like, kind of knock out Bob for some time until he can return for the return. So maybe that'll be the change in power, and then the good will take over for a while. I don't know. I'm just trying to
speculate.
It is
27 years. 1990.
Is it 27 years?
2017, yeah.
Pennywise is coming back.
And then Cooper will, or Bob will deflate like a little balloon and shrivel up into a million sharks.
Cooper and Truman just insult him to death.
Yep.
What a
weird... You suck. Your hair's long and natty.
Where do you come up with that as like a writer? Because that's not the ending in the book, to get on a tangent. Where you're just like, let's belittle it to death.
Go listen to our episodes both on It, which is, I believe, our ninth episode.
It is.
And It Chapter 2, which was after that.
Earlier this year.
I want to say like 43 or something.
39. Probably something around there.
Yeah.
41, 42, 43, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Anyway, so I think now they find the microphone in the bonsai tree. And
finally,
they realize that they've been working for Wyndham Earl all along. It's a very
idea. Didn't see that coming.
And now we get to the actual event, the Miss Twin Peaks pageant, which I think is when things kind of...
Yeah. Here's two things, a couple things. First of all, like, the Dick and Lana scene, that was, you know, it was spicy, but I didn't actually need it. All the rehearsal scenes I didn't really need. And then, why do we need to have these scenes of, like, these two-minute sequences of these characters dancing? Like, It just felt so unnecessary, and it killed any sort of pacing or, like, dread that we should be feeling in this episode leading up to, like, we know someone's going to get kidnapped at the end of this, and because it's a part one of a finale, we know someone's actually going to get kidnapped. And it just, it felt so weird having these two dance numbers. One, also because, why am I forgetting her name? Peggy Robertson's character, Lucy.
Kimmy. Yeah, Kimmy Robertson.
Oh, Kimmy Robertson. Yeah. Sorry. I think I mixed Peggy Lipton and Kimmy Robertson.
Yeah, Peggy Lipton.
But, yeah, so Lucy is out there dancing, doing splits and shit, meanwhile she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Which is
Let me read
weird.
A quote. Let me just read a quote from the book. It's from Kimmy Robertson. She says, Mark, meaning Mark Frost, Mark came up to me and said, we want you to choreograph a dance for the next episode. I said, what? He said, we know you dance, so we want you to choreograph a dance. I choreographed that dance to Mac the Knife, and it was supposed to be cheesy, but I don't think anybody got that. I mean, with the big jump, with the split at the end, you can't get cheesier from that. Plus, I'm supposed to be pregnant? I was approaching my character like Nadine. It was like my character had gone insane.
Ah.
So yeah, that is choreographed by Kimmy Robertson, and she recognized that it didn't make any sense that she was pregnant, and she was doing those splits.
That doesn't make it better, though. She recognized it. It's still while I'm watching them, like, first of all, this is unnecessary. Second of all, she's prego, so this is not good for the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I really like if these. It's Andy's baby, it's already pretty fucked up, to be honest.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, she forgets what the name is. What name they had thought for it.
I didn't even think about this, but this child better be in Twin Peaks The Return.
Facts. Oh, my God. Well, nice. Nice.
Better be in The Return.
We'll see.
That would be interesting.
We'll see.
we'll know by the wardrobe that it's wearing as soon as it walks on screen whether or not the child was Dick Tremaine or Andy's.
Will we get old Nikki in The Return? There's a question. Old Nikki.
I hope
Nikki.
Not. Please no. Mm.
I want old Nikki with supernatural powers.
I want the kid who was sitting in the corner of his grandmother's house holding the corn.
David Lynch's son. Yeah.
Oh, that was his son? That was Riley?
Yeah. Austin
or not
Lynch.
Riley. Austin.
Yep.
I don't know why I thought Riley. Does he have a child named Riley?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't know. Austin's the only one I know. Well,
I don't know where
Jennifer
I pulled
Lynch.
Riley out of my ass from, but I know Jennifer Lynch, right? That's his first daughter? Yeah.
Yeah, she wrote The Secret Diary of Laura Palmer.
Yeah. I'm going to look up David Lynch.
Then we already talked about the scene where Log Lady Earl assaults Bobby.
Which is
Audrey
so
and Annie both make speeches. They're both fine.
Annie's
Annie
speech
the dad.
Is beautiful.
Yeah. She's good. I can see why Dick picked her.
Yes.
I would have voted for Annie.
It's a beautiful speech.
Yeah.
It is.
And then just we get the scene with Andy being the dad, which we already talked about. And then we get the Wyndham attack with the strobe light. I really like the strobe effect. I think it's pretty cool in the scene. I think it just makes things really tense. Is it a bit cliche? Maybe, yeah. But you know, I think it's decent.
See,
he does have a son named Riley, by the way. That's his son with Mary Sweeney.
Okay. Ah, okay. One of his four or five wives?
Four wives and a partner. No, he was never married to Mary Sweeney. He had four wives plus Mary Sweeney was a domestic partner.
Isn't Mary Sweeney the current one?
No, that's Stoffel, Emily Stoffel.
Ah, okay.
It's too many to keep up with.
It's hard to keep track. But why I felt the strobe was unnecessary was as soon as Annie was announced as the winner, I felt so much dread. I felt like the strongest sense of, you know, tension and being uncomfortable just from the fact that everybody was cheering and clapping and there was this very, you know, loud garish music, and I just knew like something bad was going to happen, and it was a terribly, you know, discomforting feeling. But I feel like that would have been more effective to just stay with that and, you know, kind of execute the scene on that level of tension rather than throw in this like cheaply edited like strobe light effect. So you know, that's how I feel about it.
Thought it worked.
Yeah, I think it really creates an interesting moment when Annie wins and Cooper is happy that she won, but also terrified that she won because that means that.
No,
like, I
so
think
good.
His
Cooper,
acting there
Cooper,
is
like,
really.
Cooper claps. I'm like, you should be bomb rushing the stage, grabbing her and running away.
Well,
like,
even before that, when he realizes the connection from Wyndham Earl to Miss Twin Peaks pageant, why doesn't he
shut
pull Annie out of that immediately?
He should pull everyone out of it.
Yeah, why doesn't he just go up on stage and he's like, this cannot happen. Here's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's a TV show and you need the plot, the writers needed Heather Graham to get kidnapped. Like,
Yeah, I don't know. It is what it is.
But also, I mean, just to tie up, to actually correct something, he was married to Mary Sweeney. He was not married to Isabella Rossellini, who he was with for 5 years.
So. Right.
Ah, okay. Whose birthday was 2 weeks ago, I believe.
Was it? Indeed.
Wow. Welcome to this portion of the show where we talk about all of Lynch's different partners and act about them.
We have become experts in this man's life.
I mean, I just finished Room to Dream a couple weeks ago, so yeah.
Well, just a couple more plot beats before we're done with this. Nadine gets conked. It's a big old...
This is going to stop her complex. I was going to say, this is going to
stop her memory thing.
Floyd, is that going to make her less scary, do you think?
No, she's always been scary. She was scary from the first scene when she's, like, fucking around with the blinds with Big Ed. She scared the shit out of me back then. I was like, she is going to murder someone someday. I think she was less scary once she went to that reverted mental state.
Oh, my God.
I honestly, Nadine's been insane for so long, I don't remember what normal Nadine is.
Yeah, I guess
normal
she was
Nadine
never
is
really
still
normal.
Insane.
Yeah, really? She's always been insane.
It just no superpowers?
She's just Nadine, except normal Nadine is just no superpowers and thinks that she is her own age, but still, like, the one, like, clinging to Ed and, like, doing all the weird shit with, like, greasing up her blinds so that they don't make any sound when she... Oh, my God, it's so weird. Yeah. Ah, she scares me.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put it this way. I've seen an image of her in The Return, and when I saw that, I was like, no! No! No!
Oh, yes.
I hope she's not in a lot. I hope it's just a little, because, like, I saw that Nadine was in The Return. I'm like, dear fucking God, Lord help me.
We shall see.
Yeah.
We shall see. And so, yeah, basically the last thing that happens is Andy, after trying to find Cooper for the entire episode... finally finds him.
Which I was just like, Cooper, he obviously has something important to tell you. Just listen to the man.
Listen to the man, yeah. And I feel like this is not the first time they've done this. I could be wrong, but I feel like at some other point in the show, Andy's trying to tell them something important, and they're just like, oh, silly old Andy. He's trying to interrupt our important work. And then Andy
It's always the miscommunication.
Yep.
Always.
Yep. But
that's what gets you.
I don't know if this was a cliche back then, like the thing being like a map that you just, once you overlay it over the map of Twin Peaks, it all makes sense. But like, I don't know.
Is that what they did?
Yeah, yeah. So Andy recognizes the map, the petroglyph now as a map of Twin Peaks.
Oh,
and that's what
Wyndham
Earl
had
figured out.
Yeah, Earl had already
figured
out
when he brought it over the computer.
The time and they have the place.
So they can be there.
Exactly. Exactly.
Wait, and what is the place? Have they said?
They haven't said, but we have seen it.
It's when Bob, I'm assuming, the hand, probably. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Ooh, shot. Cool. I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm really excited.
Just in time
this,
for Annie to die.
Oh, God.
This ended up being a decently short episode, but...
Like Matt said, just a bunch of setup.
Yeah, but guys, we're going into the finale here.
Finally,
I'm so fucking
dear
excited.
God, I want to watch this finale. I want to watch Fire Walk with Me, and then I want to start watching The Return.
We will get a lot in between
Fire Walk with Me and The Return, but still, just knowing that we're almost there.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm so excited to talk about all of this, and I have loved every minute, every episode of talking about this with you guys over the past almost two seasons.
Absolutely.
We're almost there.
And 2 years.
And so I guess just...
a couple months for me, but...
You know, we've talked about... Yeah, right. You know, we've talked about a couple predictions, but just going into the finale, what are you guys expecting? What are you hoping to see?
All right. Leo is dead. Annie is dead. Shelley, a maybe? No, I think Shelley will live. I expect definitely Cooper to go to the Black Lodge. I expect for there to be another appearance of Bob. Maybe even, you know, Bob and Cooper face to face. You know, we haven't gotten too much of that, I feel like, other than the Josie scene. I don't think Donna will be Ben's daughter. I think they're going to take it in another direction. There's going to have to be something good, though, to make up for all this bullshit that's been going on between them. And you know, as Logan said, you know, it seems like it's going to go in a very vague and ambiguous way. Not, you know, rightfully so, not answer everything. I hope it ends. I'm interested to see how it ends. You know, I've said before, I think it will end with Cooper leaving town, or maybe not leaving town, but just, you know, being distraught from the death of Annie, and, you know, that really taking an emotional toll on him, and we see, you know, seeing that. You know, maybe we'll get, you know, we talked about the shadow self, maybe we'll see Cooper's shadow self here in the future. I hope it ends on just the perfect note. I don't know, it's got to nail it for me, and I think it is going to, just from, you know, all the hype that Logan has given it. I'm so excited for this.
Yeah, so I think Leo's going to die. I think Annie's going to die. I think Cooper's going to go to the Black Lodge. I think something bad's going to happen to Cooper, as we said before. Something needs to force him to leave. I still want something to tie into the fact that Bob seems to, like, transfer from person to person, and I still want Cooper to be the person that is infected with Bob, even though I feel like we haven't seen much evidence of that. I just feel like that would have been a very clean thing to have, because it seems like Bob's this entity that's really attached to people, and I wanted him to be attached to Cooper because Cooper was the person holding Leland as he died. So I hope there's something maybe with that. Maybe Leland comes back. I want there to be more Red Room. I think you have to have more Red Room in the finale. I don't know how you could end this show for what you think is going to be the end of the show. I think you have to bring back the Red Room in some way. I expect to see Laura Palmer again. I expect to see in the Red Room, I should say. Not in, that'd be weird if she was alive. I expect that Donna will be Ben's daughter, and that we'll get some just filler tie in with that, and then her and I'm assuming that Donna and Audrey will have a scene together, realizing that they're sisters. I think that we'll get some tie-up with Nadine, unfortunately, even though I do think Norma and Big Ed will get married, or at least be on their way towards marriage. And, yeah, I think a lot of bad things are going to happen to Cooper. I think Cooper is going to get fucked up.
And James is coming back. That's maybe, added onto mine. For maybe, sure coming back.
I can't see this being a happy ending, honestly. I can't think of anything for, like, Cooper. In terms of Cooper, like, I can't see this being a happy ending for him.
It's going to be somewhere in the middle, yeah. I think it's going to have to...
Because he has to leave Twin Peaks.
I don't think we're going to see him leaving Twin Peaks, but I think we're going to get the implication of him leaving Twin Peaks.
Because, the return could mean so much. Because, I mean, I know that the, like... log line of the return log lady it's happening again, or it is happening again, like for the poster and all that stuff, and that's what it says on Letterboxd and stuff for the log line. So I'm assuming that maybe he'll defeat Bob in some way, or at least like I said with Pennywise, like subdue him for a while. Something bad will happen to him, probably Annie dying. He'll go away because of that trauma, so the return will be both the return of Bob and the return of Agent Cooper. So I think it'll be like It. We, you know, there's a lot of parallels, I think. So I think it's going to be like my favorite book, which is sitting right next to me, this giant tome of a book. Absolute unit of a book. But so I'm excited for the finale, Fire Walk With Me and the Return. It's only up from here. I think there's no more shit left.
You know, come back in 2 weeks to hear us talk about the finale. You know, find out who lives and who dies, and, you know, will it be a happy ending? Will Cooper enter the Black Lodge? Will he do so with
Windham Earle's definitely going to die.
Windham Earle?
Oh, okay. Totally.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, agreed.
The
power will be too great for him.
Yes. So many questions to consider, and, you know, we won't have to wait that long, but in 2 weeks you'll all be able to hear us talking about that. So, in the meantime, we have a lot of other shows on our network. Would one of you like to tell us about those?
Yeah, I can do that. And real quick, if Harry dies, or Harry, right?
Yeah, Truman.
No, not Harry Truman. Wait. I always think it because of Harry Goaz.
Andy.
Andy. If Andy dies, I revolt. I'm giving up. I'm not watching any more Twin Peaks if Andy dies. Yeah, so the other shows on our network, we have the Cinema Talk Podcast, which is our flagship show, where every week we deep dive into a movie, an individual movie per episode. We are in the middle of our David Fincher series right now, so go ahead and check that out. We have the CTP Movie Journal, me and Matt's short-form movie discussion podcast featuring our best of list. Go check out our Best of the Decade, which is out now. We have the Octo Island Podcast, which is our Star Wars podcast, where we're talking about the Clone Wars right now. We have Stop, Wait, What?, our comedy improv advice show, which I think you all will enjoy. We also have Twisted Mug Mysteries, which is our our show hosted by Brennan about all things spooky and occult. And we also have I Might Play That, our new video game review podcast. New episode out very recently. Go back and check that out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and as always, we are on social media. We are at Twisted Mug Media on Twitter and Instagram. Guys, we just hit, I believe, 200 followers on Instagram. Yeah. That's kind of hype. So, you know, if you're one of those followers, you're listening to this episode, first off, we thank you. And second off, hit us up. DM us on those platforms or email us, twistedmugmedia@gmail.com. Yeah, this has been great. And also, yeah, to put another plug in for me and Floyd's Best of the Decade list, definitely go check those out. Those were a lot of fun. Long time in the coming. 10 years in the making, in fact. Great episodes there.
Yeah, so, you know, check out our other stuff on the feed, of course, and contact us with anything you want to. Twin Peaks theories of your own, or, you know, even related to other shows. Questions you want us to answer on Stop, Wait, What? Movies we can review on the Cinema Talk podcast. Video games for I Might Play That. Or if you just want to say hi. You know, you could come with us, come to us, I cannot talk right now. You can come to us with the most mundane of observations or the deepest pontification on Twin Peaks possible. And we would love to hear from you no matter what. So thank you for listening. I have been Logan.
I have been Matt.
I'm Ryan.
And we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
See ya.